Hello everyone, welcome along to the Tennis Podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio with Sky Sports commentator Nick Lester on the line as we get set for the end of season finale, the ATP World Tour Finals at the O2 Arena in London. Eight players, the best eight in the world, are doing battle in London over the course of the next 7 days. And Nick joins me on the line now. First of all, good morning, Nick.
Morning, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. Been a busy few weeks on the road watching the indoor season. Obviously, this race to London's kind of really captivated a lot of people in the tennis world with the spaces up for grabs. And it's been an unusual sort of year, as we all know, and especially the last few weeks because, you know, the amount of points required to get to London has been so high, Dave, compared to previous years, which has made it got quite a, you know, good sort of fight, really.
And we're at the O2 Arena once again, Nick. Just give us an idea of how the court plays there.
Fairly slow, fairly low bouncing, I think is kind of where we're at. I think it's going to be very similar to Paris. Don't think it's going to be particularly good for the guys who hit a lot of spin, which is in some ways kind of why Nadal, I think, has shut it down. Obviously, we know that he had the appendicitis issue, never been a particularly good indoor player, but I don't think it would have been a surface that helped Nadal. So, in fact, I don't really see any guys in the field who it's going to favour particularly there, because the majority of them play in a similar fashion. Obviously, the big servers, it's going to help as well. But I think it's going to be a fairly low-bouncing sort of court, medium pace, I think, as it has been for the last couple of years and as it was to the events leading into this tournament.
Let's get stuck in then. We'll start with Group A, go through this player by player, and start with the world number one, Novak Djokovic, 5-6 favourite to win the ATP World Tour Finals, so odds on. He's got a finals record of 19-9. Six titles this season for Djokovic, Nick, and he's earned nearly $10 million on the tour. Comes into this on the back of that title in Paris last week. Obviously, you were there, so you saw his performance last week. He was very impressive, Nick.
He was, considering he had a tough draw, Dave. I mean, he played Murray, he played Nishikori, he played Rynic, obviously, in the final, where he was way too good. He played Gael Monfils in the round of 16, and as we know, Monfils, very unpredictable. He came out at times charging against him, and Djokovic was very good. You know, it's been a life-changing couple of weeks. Obviously, Djokovic became a father just 2 weeks ago, which, you know, for someone like him, obviously, is a huge event. He had a couple of days off, I know, after that, but trained in Monte Carlo, pretty much kept things going. And in fact, I had a long chat with his fitness trainer last week in Paris, who was telling me that, you know, he's been on it. He really has. So there's barely been a day where he's been resting. He's been keeping his physical fitness up to the very highest level. He wants a big finish. And indoors-wise, Dave, he's, you know, on a run. He's not lost an indoor match, Djokovic, in 2 years. Sam Querrey was the last player to beat Djokovic indoors. That was in Paris a couple of years ago. And you talk about the surface and the conditions, and there's no doubt these suit. Obviously, the one issue was the defeat he had to Federer 4 weeks ago in Shanghai, which definitely stung. And the manner of that defeat, I think, hurt him, the way Federer was able to come at him at serve and volley. But, you know, I think overall, Djokovic will be very pleased with the year. I think the Wimbledon victory was enormous for him. I think had he have not won at Wimbledon, that would have been a major blow. But I think the Wimbledon victory gave him a lot of confidence for the year. He had a bit of a blip in the summer. But I think overall, it's been another very, very solid year for him.
And he's talked about the effects the birth of his first child has had on his game. And he comes into this relatively fresh as well, doesn't he, Nick? Having, you mentioned that defeat against Roger Federer, took a month off following that loss, and that could help him this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the options would have played Basel or Valencia the week before Paris. That is when his wife gave birth, you know, and that was obviously an exciting period for him. And as you say, it was perfect, really, because it gave him 3 or 4 days to rest at home before going to Paris. Where he did look very focused, I must say. You know, he really did feel as though he kind of wanted to end the year on a high and played very well last week. You know, everything was working nicely, the back end, the movement. Again, the final against Rynic, he was just able to put too many returns into play for the Canadian, who, as we know, has the biggest serve in the game. I think looking at the prices I did this morning, I think 5-6 perhaps could be a little bit short for me. I think certainly the way Federer's come at him, and I think there's a couple of other guys who might be just a little bit more value. But so I think, you know, Djokovic clearly being the world number one, the record he has indoors is going to be a very, very tough man to beat. He's got a very good little draw there as well. I like the group, the way the groups have come out. But I think 5-6 for me might just be a little bit short.
Marin Cilic in this group as well, 20-1, Marin Cilic. This is his debut in the ATP World Finals. Got four titles this season. Of course, the big one, the US Open, where he annihilated Kai Nishikori in straight sets in the final there. Took some time off the tour following that success. Returned for the Asian swing with slightly below par performances in Beijing and Shanghai before winning a title in Moscow. How do you assess the chance of Marin Cilic this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think Asia was an interesting one. I was in Beijing. It was very cold that week, actually, and I think the loss to Murray there was probably circumstances where it didn't favour him particularly. It was a cold day, and he wasn't really able to get the ball through the court as he would have liked. And then Shanghai lost to Karlovic in the first round, which, as we know, is a little bit of a lottery. So I wouldn't read a great deal into that. I actually think he's a lively outsider in this tournament. I really do, Cilic. I think he comes in here having won in Moscow. Huge bonus that. His record indoors is phenomenal. He's 16-1 indoors this year, Cilic. Conditions, I think, could well suit him. I think, obviously, he has one of the biggest serves in the game. I mean, you know, I was going through yesterday the numbers of that US Open run. I mean, the way he served that week was simply lights out. It, almost to the extent that I think no one's been able to kind of match that. And it was just phenomenal. And I think he of all the field has had the most remarkable transformation of any player, I think, in a long while. I mean, he's gone from a timid, shy character on court to someone who looks so strong and looks like he has so much belief in himself. The record against Djokovic is not good. So I think you've got to look at that first match and perhaps take a look at where he's at after that. He's 0-10 against Djokovic in matchups. But, Dave, he has taken him to 4 and 5 sets in the last couple of matches. Wimbledon 5 sets, I think it was in the quarterfinals. So, you know, I definitely think it's a tricky opener for Djokovic as well. If Cilic serves as well as he has, he's going to have a shot. I think he'll be fresh. And this is something we saw with Simona Halep a couple of weeks ago. She had 3 weeks off going into the Masters and played very well. And I actually think this could be smart scheduling from Cilic. I think this is a big week for him. I like the group, the way it's come out for him. I'm not sure it'll be Djokovic, but I do like Cilic to make the semis.
Marin Cilic in the betting at 20-1. Just before we leave Cilic, how much do you attribute the appointment of Goran Ivanišević to his success this season?
Yeah, that, and I think the ban. I think there's no doubt that when he received the ban last year for what was a stupid act, he's not a cheat, Marin Cilic. No way is he a cheat. He's not that sort of character. But he made a mistake. I think he was a little lax. I think as I said to you before, he was one of these players who was probably drifting a little bit. I think he was 25, 30 in the world, was cruising along, making a good living out of the game. Suddenly his career was taken away from him for 4 or 5 months, and it was a wake-up call. And I think Goran has no doubt had a huge influence. I think he's got him to enjoy the sport a lot more. I think he's got him, he changed his service motion, which has obviously now become one of the most potent servers in the game. And I really think he's going to be up for this, Cilic. I really do. I know him very well. He's a great guy. And I really think those 2 or 3 weeks off could do him a huge favour coming into this week. I think he'll be ready. And I think the way this group's panned out, it could be a lot worse for him.
Stan Wawrinka is 25-1. He's in Group A as well. His finals record, 2-2, and he became a Grand Slam champion for the first time in Australia in early 2014. He's a player whose form has tailed off slightly in the lead-up to this event, Nick.
Well, he's out of form. Simple as that, Dave. He's out of form. I saw him play the worst match I've probably ever seen him play in Basel 2 weeks ago, where he lost in the opening round. Played very poorly against Kukushkin, looked shaky, didn't look as though he had any conviction in his game whatsoever. And I think the effort's not been there as well, which has been the most worrying part. His coach, Magnus Norman, was a guy who put in 101% every single time he stepped on the court. And I know he will have been very disappointed, I think, with what he's seen from Wawrinka this year. That's not to say that he's not put the work in the last few weeks, because I know he has. I know he was in Zurich for a couple of weeks trying to get his game back. Haven't seen any evidence of that whatsoever. It's been a very strange year for Wawrinka, as you say. Winning in Australia, I think that was a huge deal for him, obviously, but I don't think he was able to cope with it initially. And then winning the Masters in Monte Carlo, which was another very, very big event on the calendar. But it's been an all-or-nothing year for him. And I've just got a feeling it might tail off rather badly. I think this, you talked about the conditions, I think probably of the 8 players, although he played well this year, last year there, I just haven't seen enough for him to suggest he's playing well enough to get through this group. I really haven't. I think he looks as though the conviction has gone from his game. the way he played in Australia, he was a world beater. I mean, to beat Djokovic and Nadal back-to-back at a Grand Slam takes some doing. But I've not seen any of that form in the last month to suggest he's going to pick it up here. And I think he'll do well to get out of his group.
Yeah, you look at the players he's lost to since Queens and Flushing Meadows. He's gone 1-4 in that period. Tatsuma Ito, Gilles Simon, Mikhail Kukushkin and Kevin Anderson have all beaten him. This is a step up in class, as it were, as well.
Well, he's not had a top 10 win since April, Dave. And I think that says a lot, doesn't it? He's not beaten a top 10 player since Monte Carlo. So that really tells you, I think, where he's at in his mind at the moment. He's a very, as a character, he's a fragile confidence. He's certainly, I think, a very introverted character. And I just think he's struggling. He's obviously got the Davis Cup final in a couple of weeks to look forward to as well. I hope he plays his best tennis there because that could be a fantastic event in Lille. But there's no doubt coming into this event, he is the most out of form player. He is really struggling, I think. And he needs to, you know, the first match, Burdick's a big one. If he can get a bit of confidence. But again, I just right now, I don't see him beating Djokovic or Cilic right now.
Thomas Burdick is the other man to make up this group. He's 25-1 in the outright betting here with William Hill. His ATP finals record stands at 5-8. Eliminated in the groups in 2010, 2012 and 2013 and went out in the semi-final here in 2011. The positive is he's got two titles this season and both of them have come indoors in Stockholm a month ago and indoors in Rotterdam. So clearly conditions should suit Thomas Burdick here.
Yeah, agree. Definitely a good indoor player, no doubt about it. Has he improved? Again, we had this discussion a lot last week in Paris. Has he improved year upon year? I think if he has, it's been minor improvements made to his game. You know, I saw Djokovic obliterate him in the final in Beijing with very nearly a first six love final on the ATP World Tour in a long time. He managed to get a couple of games in that final. But again, I think... You know, played well last week against Raonic, and then in the last game just capitulated, just got tight, got nervous, which he does tend to do. And when he does get nervous, his forehand is the side that goes. It leaves him. He dumps a lot in the net. He loses his ability to control the ball. And I think that's the concern for me with Burdick. But you have to say, 5 straight years qualifying for this event is certainly a measure of his consistency. I think he's probably destined to be in that sort of second group for the rest of his career, that kind of best of the rest, as I like to call them. He's not going to beat Djokovic in this group unless something major happens. So he's going to have to find a way to beat one of the other two. And again, for me, in this group, I side with Cilic and Djokovic. I don't think... I haven't seen enough from Burdick in the last 6 months to tell me he's improved enough to make the semi-finals here.
You mentioned it's been maybe a gradual improvement for nothing startling for Thomas Burdick. If you were his coach, Nick, what would you get him to work on?
I don't think he's got enough variety. I don't think he's got enough nous in matches. You know, there was a very interesting situation at the US Open this year where an on-court interviewer asked him after his match when he came off. He'd served a particular pattern of second serves in this match to one direction. And the interviewer said, did you realize you were only serving to this part of the court? And he said, no, I didn't even know that. And I think that's such a good little insight into where he's at with his game. I don't think he has any ability to change the course of a match when things aren't going well. He's very much a my way or the highway sort of player. Obviously, the serve is huge and the forehand is huge when it's working. But I don't think he has quite enough. There's not enough facets to his game that he adds to things when it aren't going well. It is very much, if I can put my game on the table, it'll be good enough perhaps on the day. If it isn't, it's not going to be. And I think we've seen that against the better players, where he has struggled against the better players. Don't get me wrong, he's number 5 player in the world, so he obviously does a lot of things right. But I think the patterns of play are predictable, Dave, and I think that is where he struggles when he's a set and a breakdown. He doesn't really know where to go, and I think that's the problem.
Just summarise what you expect to happen in Group A before we move on to Group B then, Nick.
Yeah, Djokovic my winner here. I think a good start against Cilic will get him off. And I like Marin Cilic. I'm going to go for Djokovic to finish top of the group, and I think Cilic to finish second. And just a little early betting, I think, again, looking at the markets for you, Dave. I do like in this opening match, you can get 4-1, I was looking on Djokovic, to win that first match 2-1. I think that might be a bit of value at 4-1, definitely.
Superb. Thank you, Nick. Let's have a look at Group B then, starting off with Roger Federer, who is 100-30 in the outright betting. Incredible finals record, Federer, winner of this event in 2003, 2004, 2006, 2007, 2010 and 2011. Firstly in Shanghai, then wins here in London in 10 and 11. And he's enjoying a renaissance, or has enjoyed a renaissance this season after a disappointing 2013. Won six titles this year, and we wouldn't really have expected, I wouldn't anyway, Nick, of him having an opportunity to hunt down Djokovic for that number one spot this season.
Extraordinary. I think it's the story of the year, without a shadow of a doubt. I think his renaissance has been the story of the year. I mean, 68 wins this year, Dave. That's more than any other player on tour. It's been remarkable. He was number seven player in the world this time last year. Going into the O2, I think it was the week of Paris, he was ranked seven in the world. He was slipping. We knew the injuries were obviously hanging around. And it's been astonishing. I think the why, where has it come from? Well, I think obviously we didn't quite understand the extent of the injuries he had last year. And I do think the Edberg factor has given him a revival. I think it's given him a real boost of energy. I think the way he's played, the way he's come forwards. I mentioned the match with Djokovic in Shanghai. I don't know if you saw that, but I mean, for me, that was like watching tennis in the 1980s. I mean, the way he attacked Djokovic with his serve and volley tactics on that day 4 or 5 weeks ago in Asia was quite extraordinary. I mean, it was a throwback. And nobody really has been able to do that against the best defenders in the game. You know, the Nadals, Murrays, Djokovic's. We haven't seen that. And yet, Federer proved on a quick court, and yes, it was a quick court, and that was definitely a factor, that it can be done. You know, he was picking up the low volleys, the first volleys, the tough ones. He was defending the net as well as I think we've ever seen him. And Djokovic came off afterwards and said, I was beaten by a better guy. That's the best Federer's ever played against me. And it's been that sort of year for him. I think, you know, hasn't won a major. Let's not forget that. He hasn't won a major. And they are ultimately what you're set by. But I do think, Dave, you can make a genuine case that this has been one of the best years of his career. And I don't think too many people had their hands up for that, you know, when we sort of spoke before the Australian Open.
He did lose last week in Paris to Milos Raonic. How much do you read into that particular defeat?
Nothing, to be honest. I think he's come in here on great form. I think he's had enough matches. He won in Basel the week before, won in Shanghai the week before that. No trouble at all. I mean, that was a very classic indoor affair. Raonic served huge, gave him really very little chances. I don't read anything into that, to be honest. I think Raonic was really up for that. I think Raonic probably played one of the best matches he's played all the year. So no worries at all for me. I think it's perfect. 8 days rest. He comes in here. He's been here early. I know he was here Tuesday, Wednesday, practicing at Queen's Club. So no worries at all for me about that. I think you can forget that loss and he'll be ready.
A huge week coming up for Andy Murray as well. He's 6-1 in Group B. A huge push from Andy Murray to make the ATP World Tour Finals. Nick, he changed his schedule completely to get here to London for this week's action. Slightly surprising, given I read some quotes earlier on in the season that said he wasn't really going to alter his schedule, but he completely defied that, and he's played a lot of tennis in the lead up to this event.
He's played six straight weeks for the first time since he was 20, Dave. So, I mean, that gives you an indication of how desperate he was to qualify. And I think that there's been two differences, I think, in many ways. I think, you know, if you look at the three-set record, I mean, he's won five of his last six three-set matches, Dave. Before the US Open, he was 6-6 in three-set matches. So he's been tough. You know, he's been hit when he really has had to produce, he's produced. And it's a very Murray thing to do, isn't it? When the chips are down, when people are telling him it's not going to be possible, he finds a way. And I thought, I don't know if you saw last week in Paris, but after his win against Grigor Dimitrov, he signed the camera, bad year. And that was just a little kind of jab, wasn't it? It was a very Murray thing to do. You know, it was a little sort of sideways jab at everyone who was telling him he had a bad year. And you know, when the chips are down, when things aren't, when people, as I say, we all know Andy Murray. He's one of the most, as I've said him 100 times, one of the most complex characters you could ever wish to meet. But he is a winner. And when things have not gone his way this year, when he really needed those victories, he went over to Shenzhen, won there, obviously did the same in, played well in Beijing. And it's been a big run. It's been a lot of matches. He was very tired last week in Paris, Dave, against the match against Djokovic in the quarterfinals. He completely ran out of gas. I hope this last 6 or 7 weeks has provided the spark for him, because the spark had been missing since the Wimbledon victory. There's no doubt about it. The spark had gone. And I just hope now that it's back, it can help him for next year.
Is fatigue a big factor this week, do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not. I don't think it is. I don't think fatigue's a factor. I really don't. I just think it's a tough group, this one. I really do. I think his opener's rough. I think Kaina Shikuri could be a very, very lively outsider at this tournament. I think it's going to be a very big first match. I think it potentially him could decide his fate in the group. Having seen him play in Paris last week, he's match tight. There's no doubt he's match tight. But the first match, it really is a difficult one against Nishikori, who's playing very, very well. He lost to Federer last time. I think it was in Cincinnati. So I think he needs to beat Nishikori. And I do think the Japanese player's playing well. I think he's fresh and hungry. And I think he's striking the ball beautifully. So I think that opening match is probably going to be to decide Murray's fate here.
He's 7-4, Nishikori, to win that opening match. He's 16-1 to win the tournament. He's in Group B as well. One of the most rounded players on tour now, Nick, and we've talked about this guy on numerous podcasts throughout the years, and a guy with a measurable amount of talent, really. Huge player.
Yeah, improved a lot. I mean, I think Michael Chang's had a big factor. Injuries are beginning to just slowly disappear, and I know that Michael Chang has said to Nishikori, listen, you've got to get tougher. You've got to get tougher. You can't keep going through periods of your career are injured. You know, if you're feeling a niggle, you've got to play through it. And I think that's one thing that Chang has definitely got in his head. I think this guy strikes the ball from the back of the court as well as anyone, Dave, and I include Djokovic in that mix. I really do. I think he has a game from the baseline that is as good as anyone's. The serve has improved. It had to improve. He's got a poor serve. The technique is poor, and he's really struggled in that department. But it's improved a lot. And I think in movement-wise, he's right up there. I'm a big fan of this guy. I think this surface is going to help him as well. I think it's low bouncing court that's going to help him. I think the ball's going to come onto him. He's got the ability to hit through the court. And I'm really looking forward to this first match. I think this first match could maybe even be the match of the tournament overall. I really do. I think this matchup between Murray and Nishikori is an exciting one. And again, just looking at the betting markets, I had a look this morning. Again, I think 11-8 on three sets is a good price in this match, Dave. I think this is going to go the distance. Tough to say who's going to win. I do actually quite fancy Nishikori. I mean, Nishikori's record this year is phenomenal. He's played 22 three-set matches, and he's won 20 of them. I mean, that's extraordinary. I mean, it's the best record of anyone in the top 10 in matches that have gone the distance. So I think Nishikori could well trouble Murray. But I think betting-wise, I think 11-8 on three sets is worth definitely a punt.
Nice. Nishikori is 16-1 to win the tournament. We finish off with Milos Raonic. He's 20-1 to win the event. Had a sticky spell a month and a half ago. Lost in the first round of the Shanghai Masters. Lost in the first round in Moscow as well. But that was a big performance last week in the Paris Masters. We've mentioned his defeat of Roger Federer in the quarters there. Went on and got beat comprehensively in the final against Novak Djokovic, but that was an improvement on what we've seen recently from Raonic.
Yeah, it was, and it was a big week, as you say. I mean, he was put down on an outside court, Dave. He was an outsider. I mean, going into Paris for London, he was Ferrer looked like he was going to make it. He had to do better than Ferrer. He beat Jack Sock in the first round, and the win against Bautista or Gut played well. And then the win over Federer was huge, as you say, because that got him through. Serve great. We know the serve's good. I still think he's a little wooden for my money, Dave. I still want to see there's still things to improve, which obviously is very positive for him. The backhand is still an issue. The return of serve is still an issue. Doesn't hit those two shots particularly well. Serve and forehand are obviously the key weapons. I don't think he volleys as well as he can as well. I mean, you know, if you're a Milos Raonic supporter, I think you've got to be encouraged because there are a lot of things to improve for him next year. But I've just got a feeling it's not going to be a particularly good London. I think he's worked very hard to get here. But I don't think, I'm just not sure about the group. I think Federer will take care of him. I think the matchup's always been good despite the loss in Paris. Don't read anything into that. I think Federer's going to get him here, especially with his inexperience at this level. And I don't see him beating Murray particularly either. I think it's a good matchup for Murray, best returner in the game probably. I'm not a big fan of Raonic here. I got a feeling he's going to go 0-3.
Summary for Group B then, Nick.
Summary would be Federer to come through, and then I think Nishikori is my lively outsider. I really do. I think he could pip Murray to second place, and I think 16-1, as you talked about on Nishikori overall, might be worth an each way punt. So I'm going to stick with Federer and Nishikori.
Superb. Thank you, Nick. Just before you leave us then, an overview of the tournament as a whole then. Group A and Group B, what you expect to happen going forward to the semi-finals and the final?
Well, I think we could well see a repeat of the US Open semis. And I think, you know, that could well see Cilic play Federer potentially if he sneaks that second spot behind Djokovic. And I think we could see Djokovic play Nishikori. That could be potentially an excellent match. Obviously, they played last week in Paris. Nishikori wasn't fit in the end. The serve was a problem. So, again, you've got to forget that meeting. And I think Nishikori could trouble Djokovic. I have to say, I think Federer being sort of 3-1-ish is not a bad price overall. Obviously, with his record here, he's had such a great year. The world number one ranking is up for grabs as well. I might just lean towards Federer overall, Dave. I think possibly he could cap an astonishing year with a big title, and he hasn't won a major, so this would probably go down as the biggest win of his year as well. So I think Federer maybe just to pick Djokovic in the final.
Superb. Thank you, Nick. Always fun chatting to you, and we'll catch up throughout the event. What are you doing from a personal perspective this week?
I'll be doing some World Feed commentary, so I'll be there all week, and I'm heading, in fact, on Saturday to take in some practice and take a little look around, so I'll be on the International World Feed doing the singles commentary, which should be good.
Thank you, Nick.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.